listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Now, what if me turns to this Hennessy into a robbery? The prophecy probably suddenly switch in how it's supposed to be.
And dirty money can't be evil because it's filling up my tummy, too. Born in this position, death collision with futuristic twisting riches.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tales podcast. Your host, Rod and Karen. Give it up. Give it up.
Was that too slow? My bad.
Give it up for Lorenz Tate and Bill Bellamy. That's right. At one point, guys, that was a duo that could headline a movie, guys. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Who'd have thunk?
Yep. How time is fly. All the young kids, like, who are those people?
Oh.
Bill Bellamy and who?
Who haven't seen How to Be a Player, really?
We actually have two new guests on the show.
Brand new.
Yeah, who I've been friends with on Facebook for quite some time. You know, I feel like once we become Facebook friends, that's basically a relationship, and
that's how real life works, right?
Oh no.
Yeah.
We're real friends in real life now.
Oh, that's good.
Two really funny people. First of all, you may have heard Courtney if you listen to Three Guys On, Courtney Farrington. Mm-hmm. He's come on a few times, he's been sock puppet.
I'm pre-sock puppet.
Well, you now that the sock puppet is a concept, you go into the sock puppet. I know you deny the sock puppet being on the roster, but
right,
you like as a concept, you know what I'm saying?
You
on the rankings now, you know. So you might know him from there if you guys listen to Three Guys On like I do. It's Courtney Farrington, man. What's going on?
What's up? Thanks for having me, man.
No problem. And a newcomer to our podcast, but you know, if you search her name on different podcast places like I do, you'll hear that she's actually been on a few podcasts and been interviewed and everything. Yeah. It's Shalewa Sharp. What's going on, Shalewa?
Hey, hello, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
I worry about stuff like mispronouncing names and stuff, so I hope I'm doing good so far.
No, I would have let you cook with it, whatever you said.
I'm the same way, but I feel like I shouldn't be, but I'm the same way. I'm gonna wait till somebody like get warrants and my name get fucked up, then I'm gonna be like, hold up.
Right.
It's Rod Durrick with an E. The E is silent, motherfucker. But you guys do a show called Thug Passion. Can you guys tell us what Thug Passion is?
I'll
try to tackle it. It's okay. So we were walking back from a basketball game of all things, and we had all talked about. We all sit around and talk about classic black movies. We quote lines and go through the whole motion. And we decided to: what if we had a live table read starring funny comedians reading scripts from black movies? And it, like, the idea blew up and everybody was super into it. So we did the first movie was Baby Boy. And it was, first of all, we type out the scripts by hand. Like, we go through and we read and we chop them up, we type them out by hand. These scripts are crazy. Mm-hmm. So,
do you remember how long Baby Boy was?
Off the top of your head, yeah.
I would say
12, 15 years ago.
No, I mean, you're talking about the length of the...
How long the movie...
I'd say two hours and 10 minutes.
2030.
Yeah, you're real close, because it was right at that sweet spot where directors were getting the okay, you know, the heady days of Miramax, where the directors were getting the okay to just put their passion projects on film, and...
They didn't edit out nothing.
It's about 45 minutes too much of Baby Boy.
Yes.
It's a lot of Baby Boy.
I remember, because what happened was, I didn't see it in a theater, you know.
Who has? I don't think anyone has.
But this is way back in the day during message wars. I used to go on his message board, and it was kind of like one of the things, running jokes that me and a couple people had, is we would quote black movies in the middle of conversations that they weren't even relevant to. But we would just take, like, we would just change the quotes to whatever we were talking about. So, like, we used to, and people used to quote Baby Boy, and I'm like, I have to learn this movie so I can use the quotes and understand the context. So then, like, if I got in an argument with somebody, I would take, like, Snoop Dogg talking to the kid.
Boy.
Yeah.
That is by far the best scene of the whole movie.
Yeah, it really is.
So disrespectful. It's a child, Snoop Dogg. What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't like you either, little nigga. Yeah.
That's the first time that little boy has probably been called. Yeah. It's so hard.
Oh, man. Yeah, John Singleton held nothing back. That script wise or just like you said, length wise, because that shit did, like, as I was watching it, I was like, is it supposed to be over yet?
A few times you're like, I feel like we've reached a resolution.
We started it and we were just like, all right, I think we underestimated how long this movie was. Maybe we should pick a new first movie, because we don't have the time.
But we have learned, Baby Boy was the first one. The second one was New Jack City.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you that was fun.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
So much symbolism. Do you know that movie is about, like, drug use and, huh? It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how, unsubtle it is. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
There's no nuance.
None.
Oh, but there's so many quotes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot.
Who played Ice-T?
Ice-T was played by Jim Search.
Word. You know what? Ice-T is his dude. Is his man.
When we contacted him about doing it, and we basically just sent him a text that was like,
yeah,
all right, you know you're going to be Ice-T, right? And he sent back a picture of Ice-T. Like, he just has a picture in his phone of Ice-T. And he just sent it back, like, immediately. And they're like, oh, okay.
Way too fast to just have a picture or reference to send back.
Yeah.
That's his dude, man. He dresses as Ice-T, like, every Halloween. Like, for real. Like, that's not even a joke.
No, we
opened the show. We had the stage black. We had him dressed like Ice-T. We opened the show with him rapping Ice-T's song from New Jack City.
Yes!
New Jack Hustler, yeah.
Yeah, so he rapped New Jack Hustler on stage by himself as Ice-T.
And people thought he was lip-syncing. So when we introduced the cast and he came out, and, I mean, he was all decked out. I mean, he really looked like him. We were like, hey, just give him a little bit of your Ice-T. And he said, like, one sentence, just like greeting the audience, and they fell out because he sounds exactly like Ice-T. Just to, you know, it's just nice to know that you have a passion like that.
Yeah, he does have, he has a thug passion indeed. He has a literal Ice-T is a thug passion.
Well, I have a question for you guys, because New Jack City is my all-time classic. So when y'all was doing, like, the scenes in the club, did y'all had the bartender doing the running man and not dropping a drop of drink in the background?
Yeah, do y'all have the notes, like in the, like, because I've never, you know, been to this or seen a script reading before, you know, I'm not in the industry. So do y'all have the notes in the script, too, where it's like, you know, walks into the club, right, stares at this guy, and then they read the line, or do y'all just read the lines that everybody just supposed to understand?
Okay, so.
So, normally a table read, the cast is just sitting at a table, and they're just reading it. We encourage, our actors and actresses, aka the Thug Passion players, we encourage them to really act out, like, the scene, and we'll run through it with them, and we'll have the movie playing so that they can see what's going on. You may not get some things it's hard to pull off on stage.
Right.
So it's hard to pull off, like, little things like that. But we also have the movie ready. We have we'll cut to scenes of the movie where we're like, you really kind of need to see what this club looked like. Now here they are talking
that, like,
of the, yeah,
and so you guys, and you guys pick movies that are very like that people know too, so it shouldn't right. have to be too much, you know what I mean, like too, like people should, I mean, I'm not saying you're non-black if you don't know New Jack City. I'm not going that far, but like I would be surprised if you didn't know what New Jack City was if you were a black person.
Yeah, like y'all making me.
Yeah, well, that's like a generational thing. We actually, at the beginning of that one, we asked, all right, who's seen New Jack City? And some people clapped.
Oh,
and then we said, all right, so who hasn't seen New Jack City? And some people clapped. And a young man sitting in the front, we don't know where he was from.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think that the press for the show made it all the way up to Yonkers, but I guess it did because he was a roughneck hood, super hood. And he was in this venue after midnight on a Friday to see us do New Jack City, which was great. So when people responded like, oh, yeah, no, we've never seen this before, homeboy stood up, he was in the front row, turned to the audience and was like, what?
Yeah.
That, and we were like, okay, we can't.
Yeah, he was the best dude we've ever had in the audience.
What?
Because he was so tough that he wouldn't clap or laugh. But he also
wouldn't leave. Yeah, he sat through a lot. He sat through like, most of it, just arms crossed, just like
in, taking it in,
just watching.
It would have been awesome.
I don't know if he loves it or hates it, but he's not going anywhere.
So
it would be awesome if he sat through all 2 hours of it, and then at the very end, like a single Denzel tear just went down his face.
That'd be the best shit ever. You know what
I mean? Oh my god.
That would have been beautiful. I would have paid to see that. Y'all making me think about other movies. Coming to America. Y'all making me think of all types of movies.
We got a whole list. So
it's long. It's a long list.
So the one that we're doing this Friday is Set It Off.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So that and that's a tough one because you know that I'm learning quickly, and I guess I didn't realize it at the time because at the time we were just supposed to celebrate seeing our people on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bummers. Sad a lot movie. Of these movies are bummers.
Listen, that movie is so sad.
It's so sad.
That movie is
at the end.
Yo, man, listen, not even at the end, man. When she had to fuck that dude for that rent.
Yes, like, not in the beginning.
I was like, man, I'm never watching this again. Like, I was watching it on some, like, I was watching it, like, when you gotta read a book for a book report.
For
like,
class.
Yeah, like, I was forced.
Yeah, like, I noted this. This is all, you know, Queen Latifah was good. Everybody, okay, I appreciate this. I will never see this sad shit again in my life.
Right, yeah.
It's scene after scene of me and Shalee were just sitting on the couch like,
yeah.
This is so sad.
Like every scene is just somebody showing up like black women ain't shit.
Yes, basically that's it.
Next scene.
The scene where Cleo is I mean, depending on how black I'm feeling that day, I might call it assassinated, but you know,
mm-hmm.
she maybe had it coming. the way she looks when she's first shot and then like spun around and up against the car door. There's a look on her face for a split second that's like such anguish, and I was like, and that's the black woman's burden right there. It's
yep.
right there all over her face.
Oh
that's
my god, huge. That oh joint. No.
How do we add yuck yucks to this?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we're gonna find out Friday.
Yeah. I guess so. It's all in the cast. Our cast have been.
We are working. Yeah, we're working hard, and we got lucky to have four very funny women. Making this sad shit as funny as they
want. How do you guys how often do you guys do the show?
It's turning out to be quarterly, so
okay.
like every 3 months or so.
Okay.
We do it, we kind of sneak in on the extra Friday of a month at the Creek in the Cave, and it's you know, it's like midnight movie style.
Oh, at the Creek in the Cave too, man.
Yeah,
that's a pretty major venue, man. A lot mm-hmm. of people go through there, man.
Yeah, so we, you know, we encourage people to come a little early, get your buzz on,
mm-hmm.
Come on in, because we are on stage the whole time with the actors, and we do commentary, and we explain some of the scenes that you're not seeing just to keep it moving. And okay. then to just point out things that you may not have noticed if you watched it when you were like 12.
Now, do right. y'all, does the bar serve the drink Thug Passion at Thug Passion? Cause I feel like that would be a major thing.
So let me tell you about gentrified America.
Oh, okay. Lay it out, brother.
You find me a place that sells Alizé. You know how many stores I went into looking for Alizé alone? Like, I'm walking in, you think I'm speaking another language. I'm like, hey, y'all got some Alizé in here? And they was like, sir, no.
you can find it down here, though.
You have insulted us, and you need to leave. Yeah, I think you can only buy Alizé if you are an underage HBCU student in America, because that's the only time I ever saw that shit in my life was, yep. it was like three or four drinks I've only seen when I was underage and at Fayetteville State. It was just like I ain't seen a Mad Dog since I graduated.
Oh no.
You're not supposed to. It's just showing that you live in a good life.
Yeah, I guess so, man. It's just nostalgia. Yeah. At this point, it's just really nostalgia. I just want to have the bottle like in my house, like, came a long way and just walk away, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I feel like the Alizé bottle is like ridiculous. Like, it looks like the bottle that the I Dream of Jeannie lived in. Yeah.
Right.
You know, but just like blue or red or orange and those were the flavors. I want blue.
Oh man, I remember all those cheap liquors, man. Mm-hmm.
They don't call it bottom for nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, we went to school with a we went to school with a lot of people that were named after drinks, and I'm not joking. Like, we had Tanqueray was a girl I knew.
Oh,
Alizé, I knew Alizé.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was not a game, man. that's a lot of that goes all the way back in our community, man. Yeah.
You know your liquor ain't shit if you outlive the actual liquor. Like, if your name outlives,
you can't find it anymore. So now your name is even relevant. You know
that liquor wasn't shit. If, like, there's an Alizé right now, you
what
like,
does Alizé mean? I don't know anymore.
I mean, in the 90s. In the 90s.
And it's just like it's just brightly colored shit. Like, it's not even good. It's just, it gives you a headache after you drink it. Like, mm-hmm. there's no redeeming quality in this alcohol other than it's cheap and brightly colored.
Make you sick.
We, because of that reason, we've been the most two hood people. We're not drinkers.
Mm. Yeah, no.
But the last two events we had to be at where we weren't on stage, we just brought little fifths of Hennessy with us.
The Hen Rock, man.
So we out here sipping Hennessy like Kanye at an award show.
Out of a brown bag.
Yeah.
Just on the street corner.
Just terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they call passions.
We don't know how to drink in public correctly. Mm-hmm. We're not good at it.
Karen, what'd you say?
No, they're called blue passion, red passion, gold passion.
Well, that's what Thug Passion comes from. Is you got to put the Alizé in there.
And the Hennessy.
Yeah, the Hennessy. Well,
it was Cristal.
It was.
Yeah, oh, you're right. Cristal and Alizé.
Who has that money?
Yeah. Ain't no one living a Cristal life.
Also, Cristal, they fucked up in the early 2000s.
So,
yeah, they did.
The same four black people. So, word? Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They had to make the switch.
Yep. They messed up so bad, rappers came out with their own drinks.
Yeah. Like, hey, we could do this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't club anymore, so I have no idea how well those liquors are doing, but good job, black entrepreneurs out there. Take it upon yourselves to get the community drunk.
Is the hot liquor in the hood Moscato? Are we still sipping on
I feel like Moscato was Kanye West throwing that in the line from like 5 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Nicki Minaj had a brand of Moscato.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
I mean, they were sold in like 24-hour grocery stores. But...
Oh, she did. Oh.
So I wonder if I can find some.
Yeah, I would like to find some. And I am as Whiskey Mine and Moonshine say, I have a niggerish palate because I like Moscato because it's light and sweet.
Yeah. Oh, no. I believe our people gravitate towards the sweet. the sweet drink.
It got flavor. I don't, flavor. Give me something with some flavor. Give me some, like my mom used to give me something with some flavor. I need some flavor.
I don't think I can mess with this Nicki Minaj Moscato because
What the hell is that?
It comes in a 4-pack. I've never seen wine.
Why in a 4-pack?
I've never seen wine.
Oh my God, what's happening with that pack?
It looked like beers.
Oh, okay. So this is like Zima level. Okay.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I can't get with this.
Oh, yeah. Look at that pick. Oh, do the weave? Is the weave included?
Let me get a sixer of that Moscato, please.
Yes, and I would like the Yaki included.
Can I get the? Can I get some Moscato in a can? Can I just get a can of Moscato?
Explain this lace front, please.
I'm gonna say a bottle opener and a lace front.
I don't think I can get down with this, man.
I'd be scared of that.
Well, first of all, make sure you guys come out and see them. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in the NYC area.
About the creek in the cave.
Yeah, because I would want to see this if I was up there.
Yeah, if I was closer.
If I ever do go up there, I gotta make it to one of these because it sounds right up my alley. Mm-hmm. Does the audience quote along with you guys and stuff, or?
Yeah, on the big lines. We've done some very creative casting decisions. In Baby Boy, the role that Ving Rhames played, we cast a comedian named Nate Frisson, who is a short Jewish man. and he ripped it.
Diversity.
Yes, he ripped it, but he...
he knew the movie well, so he...
Yeah, he knew it, so he was like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
But we had an issue, we had an N-word issue. Like, how
do
we deal with this, since we've decided to go this way with casting? And Courtney came up with the great idea of...
I just rewrote all of them to make him seem ridiculous. I rewrote every last one of the words to make so he didn't have to, so he couldn't say it. Maybe right. He
just substituted all the N words with other N words. So, you know, it was like, you know, you punk ass Nintendos. What else did you use? Like, Tito, like any N word you could think of, he stuck in. It had nothing to do with.
So he got the TNT edited version.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He got the BET edit.
Listen, you mother fathers.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Was one of my favorite mother fathers.
Mother fathers
was my favorite.
You must have watched the same. Y'all must have watched. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Shalewa.
No, I was going to say, have you heard Mickey Ficky? That was my favorite.
Yes. Listen, House Party 1 and 2 used to replay on TNT back in the day, and they used to do the Mother, Father, and the Mickey Ficky, man. Like, I used to live for that.
Those sound like dance moves.
Yeah. That was Robin Harris outside the cop car talking to the cops when they had to bleep all of that out.
Yeah, my dad caught us watching the regular version one time, and we had to sit and count how many cuss words was in it, just because he was just like making us ashamed of it. Like, go ahead, you can watch it.
Sounds kind of fun. That's the most fun book report I've ever heard in my life.
Listen, it started off serious, but by the end we were laughing at how ludicrous it was, because it's like it's like 75 cuss words or something. It's like a ridiculous number.
And they curse a lot, and House Party was extremely homophobic.
Oh my god.
It was crazy.
Oh, everything in it. Yeah, everything was homophobic.
It was a whole nother time, dude.
I went to the 20th anniversary of House Party at the Museum of Moving Images, which is curated by one of the brothers who made it. What's his name?
One of the Hughes?
No.
The
House Party. The Hudsons.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
And they brought out Full Force, which was crazy.
Isn't it wild that Full Force were the bullies in that movie? And they were legitimately scary. Like, it's not like I wasn't scared, but like, I don't know if we could pull that off today. A bunch of Jericho dudes walking around.
No. I don't think so. No. They were swole, but like their t-shirts were torn. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes. And who can be scared?
Hot shirts and stuff.
Yeah, and who could be scared of somebody that comes out and says, Full Force, get busy one time.
Gonna kick some fucking ass.
That's really, that don't sound scary.
Yeah, no, Well, I ain't gonna lie, at that time I was scared of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was like, man, like, are they these the bullies that the DARE program is warning me about?
Right, I need to be paying more attention.
They're gonna make me smoke weed in the bathroom.
They're gonna force it down my throat.
The first day of seventh grade, I'm gonna end up being a drug addict. This is how it happens. Full Force shows up.
My problem is how are they all around the same age? Full Force look old as hell.
Right.
Like 40-year-old dudes who had just gotten out of the joint.
Yeah, what are they doing in high school?
You never graduated, dawg? What's happening? It was like, fuck it.
They're just gonna come back from where they left off.
They had a scene with the principal. He in the principal's office looking older than the principal.
That's like, my career gonna be high school student.
Kid and Play knew how to cast some bullies, man. You know, they had that one in that school, the school's, what was the name of that movie? Something School, where it was like, kid was the.
Was it Class Act?
Class Act, yeah. Kid was the smart one.
The one man Play.
Yeah, yeah. Play was the bad one, they end up switching roles where Play gets into like the genius school in classes and Kid gets in there with the it was like that movie was actually like I rewatched it maybe a year or two ago and it holds up well.
It does. And Karen was in there, Karen Parsons.
Yeah, surprisingly well done.
Yes, she was.
I still remember
a comedian friend came up to me just last week and asked if we were going to do Class Act, and then he started to recite the lines.
Yes.
And that happens a lot to you, right? People will come up with movies that they think we should, y'all gotta do this next, or you gotta.
Oh, yeah. You probably get tired of that.
Yeah, we gotta.
I don't.
We gotta, cause there's some that I forget. Someone came up and was like, well, you're gonna do BAPS, right? And I was like, BAPS!
Oh, yes. Yes.
Completely forgot. So, you know, gotta add it to the list.
Yeah, there's some, sometimes I'll just, like today, I was just coming out of, Chopped, this restaurant down here. And, when I was leaving, I could not, for the love of my life, get, Pootie Tang out of my head.
That's another good one.
Shout-out-tay on the tippy-top.
Yes! I'm gonna run, yo. But no, the one I couldn't get out of my head, and it's such an obscure line, but it's when they're sitting at the dinner table, and he was thinking about the girl that he has a crush on, and he goes, that's a tone pony. So I was like, it doesn't even mean anything.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Like, but it just,
no,
I don't.
Love it.
But it sounds like high praise. It really does.
It really, right? It was the cadence. I was like, yeah, I can relate to that, Pootie. I have no idea what that means.
I'm gonna keep using it now. You just brought it back into my vocabulary.
Yeah, that movie's so underrated, man. When that, with, he's breaking up with a grown ass woman when he's like 8. she threw his big wheel out. Yeah. Oh man.
The crazy thing was Louis C.K. said that the final version wasn't what him and Chris Rock wanted it to be. So can you imagine if the movie was what they wanted it to be?
I have no idea what it would have been, man.
Right.
Like if they had the creative control that they wanted. Cool. That's crazy. I still remember the media blitz with like MTV was promoting it. They had like I think maybe even Destiny's Child or one of those groups like had a single on it. It might have been 702 or something, but it was just like they were doing so much to promote this movie, and I went and saw it, and I was just a big fan of Chris Rock show, so you know it didn't matter. Pootie Tang was all I was all about some Pootie Tang. It didn't matter. But we were in the theater and I know what the movie's gonna be because I watch Chris Rock show, I watch Pootie Tang. Mm-hmm. That segment always kills me.
Everybody wasn't ready,
and so many people had never heard of no motherfucking Pootie Tang. We saw so many people get up and just walk out like they just gave up on the movie. Like,
serious?
He's not talking English. What the fuck? What is funny about this? And I'm just and me and Karen were just like progressively getting more and more hysterical as people walked out. Like it was just like,
yeah, we started making bets. We were like, what about that couple down there? Right. I was like, it's gonna mess around and be just me and you.
Yeah, people were pissed.
That's hilarious.
Private screening of Pootie's Tang.
Oh right. Man, yeah. So good. All right. Let's do some show stuff here, guys. We got news. Things have continued to happen over the past 24 hours, so we're gonna talk about them.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Of course, this is the Blackout Tips. see us on iTunes, Stitcher, leave us 5-star reviews. We'll read them on the show when it comes Saturday. We do our feedback stuff. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 496 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. His bail has not been lowered. Still at $2 million. No news coming out of that camp right now. So, and also in other major news, I paid off my Rooms to Go credit card.
That's what I'm talking about, dog.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's nice.
And then they still sent me a bill in my email for $0. It's like they was just practicing, you know?
They was like, just in case you forgot, you ain't got no balance. Come buy some more shit.
Yeah. Aww. It's just letting you know, like, hey, man. It's like, I guess it's like when an ex texts you, like, you know?
Hey, you good? You good?
Just think about you.
Like, they was like, we're used to this, so we're gonna send it to you anyway.
And good positive black news, the WGN TV show Underground has been renewed for season 2.
I'm glad. That's my shit. I love that show. If y'all not on it, get on it. It is a great show.
Yep. Congrats to John Legend and all the people over there. Do you guys watch Underground? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
But I watch the tweets. Like, I read the live tweeting of it. So I'm like, oh, okay, I almost am following this story.
It is
like,
very good.
When I finally watch it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, no, someone did mention this.
Yeah, it's really good, man. It's, you know, as always, man, I'm pro us telling our own stories about our history in this country, because we give like the real, and then we also kind of don't really have a lot of like the white savior thing where it's just like, these Negroes should be free, and it's like, he's the real hero, you know, thank goodness he showed up. Like, not that didn't happen historically. Obviously there had to be white people that were helping,
right?
But you know, a lot of these movies, it feels like they try to like whitewash it and make the white people kind of like not harmful, except for like a couple ones, you know, right, and it's like, right. Nah, that couldn't be how slavery was, because that's not even how today is, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even fucking make sense, man. But yeah, it got renewed, man. So good, congratulations to them. Mm-hmm. Also, another quick aside for TV, CNN had W. Kamau Bell, comedian. He is doing this show called Shades of America, and I don't know if this is the first episode or not. I just caught like the preview of it, so I recorded it.
It was the first episode.
Okay. It was he goes and visits the Klan throughout.
I was seeing that.
I watched it, and
I'd have been scared for him watching.
Yeah, well, you know what, man, this is the thing people don't understand about W. Kamau Bell. That nigga's like 6'8" or some shit.
He's huge.
Yeah, like, he's an affable motherfucker and everything, but don't get it twisted, man. You like, them white dudes are all looking up at him. You know what I'm saying? They shook his hand and everything. It's really interesting, man. So if you out there are in podcast land listening to this and you haven't seen it, Shades of America, man. It was the most amazing part to me is just like how illogical racism is. Cause like, these people would have cordial conversations with him, and then the second he pushed it to like, so would you like come down my house and just, you know, break bread with me? We could just kind of talk about this. And it's like, whoa, no, I wouldn't do that. Now, come on, buddy. Like, it's just like, they just hit a brick wall, no matter how cool, you know. They would shake his hand, call each other sir, you know, and, you know, even when they go on their like white power rants, they weren't even that bad. Not that they're not bad, but it was like, it wasn't even like, you niggers, I hate you. It was all shit like, well, you know, I just believe that white people belong with white people. And, you know, I don't think racists mingle. Are you a believer of the Bible? Because, you know, he said not to mingle with the mud races. And
oh, Lord, not the mud races.
Straight up to his face. And only.
Yeah, but yeah, the mud races.
I can only imagine W. Kamau Bell even doing those interviews, because he's the only person that has the temperament for that bullshit. But he did it. Congrats to him. So yeah, check it out, y'all.
I'm actually gonna watch that now.
And when you do, go to his Twitter feed, because he was live tweeting the reactions, East Coast and West Coast. So like, just, and the way he will answer, he'll actually take the person's tweet and then do the little response thing, and it was fascinating.
Yes.
To see people, because he at some point gets to go to the compound. Like, they take him to a compound, but that means getting on a dark, dusty road with a bunch of Klan members.
Mm-hmm.
And my Twitter's exploded. It was just like, I mean, I know you got out, but I mean, are you all right? Like, are you all right, though?
Yeah.
It was just...
And in between it, like, he's doing kind of like, he's explaining it, doing like, talking to a live crowd, almost like, it's almost like stand up, but it's kind of more like he's explaining what they're about to watch on the screen. And,
yeah, that's what his stand up had been, like, historically, had been more like presentations.
Yeah, so he was doing, you know, he's in his element, and, at one point, they're about to burn the cross, and he's like, whoa, stop. We cannot have the cross burning. It's only like 20 minutes in. We got to save it for the end.
The closer. Yeah. The closer is the cross burn.
Yeah. He was like, cause what? He said, cause, you know, like a black person watching a cross burning live in person, that's what you end with. Plus, I don't know what you can follow a cross burning with. And he's like, and I don't want to know.
Right.
But, yeah, man, it was a really good idea. And, like I said, it really just tugs at how illogical racism is. Not that black people don't know. We all know, but it's still good to kind of see it. Cause these people look so silly, but they're so serious, man. Like, they had a really billboard that was like, anti-racist means anti-white. And you're like, what? What is this? What is the logical leap here? You know what I mean? It was crazy, man. Other crazy news. Jared Fogle, who you guys may know from eating sandwiches and having...
Oh, word. Yeah, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, having sex with kids. He won $180,000 from the former employee and fellow pedophile, Russell Taylor. That was his dog. That's actually how he got caught.
Right.
That dude got caught first, and he was like, you don't want me?
I can't do all this time by myself, guys.
No, he came in there, you don't want 6 inch, you want the foot long.
I don't...
You don't want me?
He was like, ain't no planes in the hood. So yeah, he was the original snitch, but he got sued by Jared Fogle because he did not pay back a six-figure loan after buying his child porn house. So he won a bid to reclaim $184,000 from his fellow convict and former employee Russell Taylor.
Pedophile and petty. Okay.
Right.
He's a petty foul.
I want all the pets.
Go ahead.
You gotta get life's little victories where you can.
Yeah. Word on the street is he's in there eating oatmeal cream pies and shit. So, I mean, he probably going straight to the commissary, man.
Yeah, he got his ass whooped, didn't he?
I mean, the oatmeal cream pies, that is a punishment. And have you only eaten oatmeal cream pies before?
I have, yes.
That's not good for your body.
No, no, but it feels so nice.
And in jail, you know what I'm saying? That's just like currency, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That may put him like at the head of the...
He might be rich, right? He pedophile rich in jail.
Yeah, he probably keeping him off of him with that shit. Like, hey, here's a box of oatmeal cream pies. All right, now let's leave.
Just ruffling in the bag. Hey, you hear that?
Yeah. Now, who wants some little Debbie's? Because Jared runs this shit now.
I'll give you both Swiss rolls.
Oh. Yeah, they said apparently Fogle gave him some money to buy a house in Indiana in 2014, and then the dude stopped making his $850 a month payments when he got arrested, so I guess he had some bigger fish to fry.
Sure.
And now that it's all settled, Jared's like, run my coin, so...
Where's that back rent?
I'm gonna need you to put this all in my books, please, if you can.
All of it.
It was all good just a week ago, man. Used to be friends. Now they fight. Money come between friends, man.
Well, among other things.
Well, that's weird that they were pedophile friends in the first place and all worked at the same place. Because I don't even know how that conversation would happen. I don't even talk to...
You stumble upon your coworker being a... Like, what... Like, how do you go from, like,
you
hey, did you see the playoffs, to, oh man, you like little boys too? Like, right.
Yeah.
How do you get thread? To that point?
How does that happen?
Right.
Hey, let me use your computer real quick. All right. I'm into it.
I mean, that's a huge risk because you could be going to jail. Like, I mean, I just pictured them having a conversation and then like, Jared being like, man, you know what I'm really into? And other dudes like, nah, let me tell you what I'm into. He's like, all right, let's just tell each other at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Child porn, child porn. Me too. Oh shit.
And let's be best friends.
Three, we can both say, little kids.
Children. Oh yeah, I like children too. Wait, you mean to raise them or like the, oh, okay, cool, cool. That's what I was saying too, man. Me too.
Yeah. You should let me help you buy your house.
Yeah.
To have the kids.
Right. How do you even hint at that shit? Oh man, you see that 12-year-old over there looking good?
No, no.
They riding through the streets in Indiana, just real deep, sitting real low in the
eating subs.
Circling playgrounds.
Offering children subs and shit.
Right.
But, yeah.
Gift cards. Bring them in. Just making it rain gift cards.
Giving them those cookies and shit, yeah, those stale ass cookies.
Yeah.
I might have gotten snatched.
I mean, I might, yeah,
cookies,
I might have did
like
a little something strange.
Right.
Have all the parents confused. They were like, Billy, you ain't got no job. How are you paying for everybody's meal today?
Make them all chocolate chip. We in there.
Right.
Let's get to some of our games here, guys. All right. We have a couple games that we like to play here.
Yes.
Okay. The first one is called Fucking with Black People. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like my job.
I'm in.
All right. Let me get my theme music here so we can sing the song. I don't know why Spotify is moving slow. Must be upset that Beyonce ain't put that shit on there.
Wait, you Spotify and you Tidal?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at you, best of both worlds. I see you.
Hey, man. It is what it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because when shit come out, I want to get it.
Yeah, although...
Hey, look, I'm not mad at it at all.
Tidal been winning lately, though, but I'm about to... So, Spotify... Hey, dog, hey. I might want to step it up.
They only got a couple of feet. They only have a couple of features left. That makes you like if you wanted to stay, they only got a couple of features left. Spotify does,
right? Yeah, they gotta like they like Tidal like right on their ass. Like they need to. I saw them complaining about it the other day. Like, man, you know these exclusives are hurting everybody. I'm like,
Tidal has an original show that they just like a whole bunch of original shows that they just read up, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to get in.
Listen, Tidal got something you can't find anywhere: a Lauryn Hill concert where she show up on time every time.
Is worth $10
right?
Yes,
yeah.
I saw that the other day when I was looking through, like, they got Prince live concerts and stuff on there too, and I was like, Lauryn Hill, what year? 2016. You know, like, I heard she had retired, so you can still catch it. All right, here's the song, guys.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play.
Right.
I am so glad we waited for that.
Fucking with black people.
Yeah.
The game where we read articles from all around the globe and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. How about... how about this one? You guys know, unless you've been living under a rock, Beyonce has released the newest album, Lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
the
sure,
visual album and the experience and the tour and everything that goes along with being Beyonce. Well, apparently Piers Morgan says that Jay-Z's not the only one who needs to be nervous about Beyonce, the born again black woman with a political mission.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he writes, I never like it when entertainers go all political.
Did nobody ask your opinion?
He's not even in America anymore, by the
right?
way. Piers Morgan like way over there just throwing stones. The cynic in me believes it's rarely done for genuine reasons, but for strictly commercial ones. You know, no, it's no way possible that a person like Beyonce, who has all this money and access, and white people have lauded for years, could possibly be like, oh, guess what, guys? I'm also black. You know, that would never happen. We all know. All races are equal.
It's that SNL skit all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
That's literally it. Yeah.
It's not for us.
Right.
So yeah, he basically goes on to say that she's, he thinks she's faking her, political, awareness basically. And, let's see what else he said. That was real superstar fame when he talked about, who was he talking about? Was it Prince or something? Oh yeah. Okay. Which brings me to Beyonce and her new visual album, Lemonade. Now I bow to no man nor woman when it comes to my admiration for this lady. I once spent a delightful day with her in London for CNN. She was bright, warm, funny, sharp, and incredibly impressive. I love that now.
None of those words.
Right. Now she's none of them?
No, now she's just black. All yeah.
That erases everything else.
But now she's black, and I don't, my whole world has turned upside down because you can't be both.
Right. No,
who's
no
impressive
way.
And black? That's crazy.
You must be an angry black woman now. That's the only thing left. So he talks about the day they spent together, how people were like mobbing him and paparazzi was around there. And he says that was real superstar fame and all this shit.
Yeah, because they couldn't come in for you.
Mm-hmm. And he said she was a global brand and all this shit. Then he goes into, but just lately, Beyonce's been adding a far more serious, deeply political, race-fueled tone to her work.
Race fueled.
Talks about formation and the Black Panther stuff and the Super Bowl. He said that it was understandably seen as an attack on the U.S. police.
I heard that argument. Like they said that she was drowning police because the water levels were rising.
Yeah.
And I immediately walked away from everyone who said that because I was like, you guys, I'm not gonna look like a fool because I'm out here arguing with you dummies.
The sign literally, like, she had a sign in there that just said stop killing us, and it says a lot about America if the idea of not killing black people is seen as a threat to police.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey man, don't kill me please, you motherfucker. Really
How dare you,
the audacity. How am I supposed to do my job and feed my kids? Wow. Okay.
I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to make it home at the end of the night, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So you want to make it home, and then I can't make. Okay. I see how it is, dog. Yeah. I see.
I didn't even want to go home. My house broken. You know how we do.
So yeah, he basically goes on a troll. Like, he talks about how she had the mothers of grieving, the grieving mothers of like Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin and stuff in the video, and you know, her quoting Malcolm X. It's just all like, you know, all this shit about he loves Beyonce, but this is obviously so terrible. It's the worst thing ever. Karen, 0 to 100 for Pierce Morgan's take on Beyonce. Okay. That, so I'm assuming that is 100.
Mm-hmm.
In Beyonce all language,
bees. All the bees.
Yeah. Where's my? I think I have this sound. I do. There you go. All right. What say you, Shalewa?
What? I'm still trying to figure out what's so terrifying about black women. Like, right. Why we strike so much fear into the hearts of men, and not just white men.
Mm-hmm.
Black men sometimes are real scared, and
right.
I don't know why. I'm a pussycat. Mm-hmm. I am. As long as I don't stub my toe, we're good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, 100 is the worst, right?
Like, yeah, 100 is the most you can get.
Okay, I can't just add zeros to it.
I mean, we've had people that have, I would still count it as 100, you know, to keep the record okay. keeping, but you know.
Mess up the technicality of it. whenever I read stuff like that, I'm just like, what happened? Like, certainly the black woman who raised you acted like she loved you for the check. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, what, I don't understand how anyone can, and I understand, I get, you know, it's trolling and he's like, this ought to get him to pay attention to me. And I'm like, well.
You know what's weird to me is like, even if you're trolling, I don't understand the mentality, and maybe it's just how I was raised. I don't understand the mentality of not like fighting, you know, like not, like I'm not saying every day you gotta wake up and fight, but like when somebody says some fuck shit, I have no problem being like, that is some fuck shit. You know, like I'm not gonna go to his job. Like it took me 10 seconds to tweet it and now I'm on with my day, but every once in a while, like, you'll see this and the people will be like, don't even say anything. I'm just like, man, fuck him. Like, he need to know that I don't fuck with him. I don't know, like, it won't change anything about my life to tell him I don't fuck with him, you know?
You know, that's the best, that'd probably be the best tweet. Like, you just tag Pierce Morgan in a tweet and then you just put, man, fuck him.
Right.
That you just
say, yeah. Man, fuck him. I don't fuck with you, just out of nowhere. Like, I don't know what this is.
Who are you? Like, yeah, I love that. Who are you?
Right. You don't even stay here.
Right. You don't even go here. Yeah. No, what about you, Courtney?
You're not a black woman and you're not from here. Chill out.
Like, real talk, if you don't have anything good to say, and because I feel like every time Beyonce puts something out, it's pretty much national black girl time, right? If you don't have nothing good to say, it's cool to let it slide. It's cool to just be like, everybody's having their jam. Mm-hmm. I don't have to come through and try shit on their party. You know what I'm saying? But it's, especially it, like the further degrees you get out, like, you know, black men are like, we don't really have the shit to say. You know, I've seen some of the shit that's been said and it's like, you could have said nothing.
Right. Then, right. Yeah.
It's that news story effect where you show up to the scene of something, you put the microphone in somebody's face, and they just say the most random bullshit. I synced it. Yeah. Beyonce song drop, and then like everybody feel like a microphone just dropped in front of their face, and they want to record live commentary. Nah, man, we don't need that.
Yeah, that really is. That's like Twitter in a nutshell. Like just a bunch of people showing up late. Like I seen the shit. So, Courtney, what would you give it? 0 to 100, man. Intervals of 25.
I'm gonna go 75.
Oh, that's
dude. Okay.
I'm gonna go 75. I want to go full 100, but he's just trying to come back. He's trying to get a TV show. To leverage. This is the baby take me back troll right here.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I give it 100, but I give it 100 on GP because it's Pierce Morgan. Like I would have. Trick question. If he would have said anything, he was getting 100 from me. Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
He's terrible. Every time he shows up, it's always some, hey, black people, you won't like this. Like, we already don't like you.
Some snark, just the most snarky. Just the way he talks.
You know, he's like, I think the last thing he said was that he didn't have a problem with the Nina Simone makeup for Zoe Saldana. I'm just like,
Nobody asked you that.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to know, dog. All right, here's a complex one, guys. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This one's kind of complex. I don't know how I feel about this, but I'm gonna read it anyway. There's a white missionary couple that, you know, these people that like go around the earth and they love Jesus so much they help people in bad places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people down them and stuff. I mean, it's good and bad because I've seen these fucking like documentaries where like they'll take their religion over to Africa and be like extra homophobic because they know they can't get away with it here. And it'll be like the reason, like they put a lot of money into the government and shit, and it'll be the reason that some countries are like, we should just lock up all gay people. And then like our president has to come over there and be, like address them and be like, hey man, if y'all do that, we're not sending no more shit. Okay. And it's like, okay, we won't lock up the gay people, but we still We still gonna be fucking them up though.
We still can ban them out the country.
Yeah, so like I'm kind of torn on missionaries because I'm sure there's people that wouldn't have gotten help if it wasn't for missionaries. But then like, if you're just over there spreading evil because you can't do it here,
right?
I don't give a fuck if it's in the name of Jesus or not. You shouldn't be doing that shit.
Mm-mm.
Right.
All right. So there's this one couple that white couple who have given birth to black triplets. Because they adopted them as embryos. There's something beautiful and enriching being the only white face sitting and chatting with some of my African American friends as my son gets his hair cut on a Saturday morning. Aaron, sorry. Aaron Harvard said in an op-ed published by the Washington Post, there's also something wonderful in the relationship that is built as my wife asked a black friend on Facebook how to care for our little biracial daughter's hair.
Oh shit!
But when did black people turn into Jurassic Park?
Right.
Why are we an experiment?
Why are we? You gonna? Did you find a black person in a drop of fucking? I'm already angry that you.
He found us.
Whenever people say that they're just proud of themselves for having a conversation with a black person about. Their upkeep. I'm like, what the
How are you sitting around with your friends talking about your black children, but at no point were your friends like, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that's a bad idea. Everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Everything you plan on doing.
Like you're learning how, oh boy.
All the money you're spending to surgically inject black embryos into your body. I just think the whole thing a bad idea.
They said, Halbert explained that he and his wife, Rachel Halbert, were already raising other children, a 3-year-old black boy and a 2-year-old biracial girl, both adopted as infants. Okay. Mm-hmm. When another couple convinced them to try adopting embryos that were created through in vitro fertilization.
See, white people, y'all go too far. Y'all go too far. Why are we adopting embryos? How don't we try to raise the two that we got?
How do you adopt embryos?
You pay for them, right?
There's got to be paperwork.
I guess they're fertilized.
What do you do?
I'm assuming they're fertilized already, and then you just.
They're fully black from the motherland.
Mm-hmm.
What? They turn like chia pets? What's happening here?
It does feel like they found these babies in some amber in the jungle.
Right. Like a cabbage patch.
just like Jurassic Park.
Just ripped from a tree one day.
Yeah.
Black blood.
They stuck a needle in a mosquito and was like, look, we can make Negroes now.
This one's ripe enough.
Right, and then the theme song started playing and shit. oh wait, that's not even the right one. Hold on, where's my the one with the horns? Oh, that's John Williams.
He's gonna be sitting in a jeep, riding around their land, looking at all the black people that they grew.
Right,
they got a whole farm of us.
This one was called Blackosaurus Rex. He was the king of the jungle.
Hey, bro, we still here. Like,
right,
you don't gotta grow us. We still here.
So he says we live in a they said they would adopt the embryos. The embryos had been harvested by a Christian facility, the National Embryo Donation Center, which stockpiles excess embryos from other procedures. We live in a world where hundreds of thousands of embryos frozen in the United States alone. Most who aren't selected by their biological parents are donated to science or destroyed or kept frozen. If Christians or others really believe life begins at conception, it follows that we should respond by being willing to support embryo adoption and even take part in it ourselves. After implanting 2 embryos last fall.
We lost you. Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, can y'all hear us now?
Yeah, are we back?
We got no sound.
Okay, let me hang up and call him back. All right. I just saw where it said the sound cut out. Let me call him right back, see if maybe I can fix it on our side. All right, y'all there?
Can y'all hear us now?
I don't know. It's giving me the same error. Am I moving over there?
Yeah, I can even see them moving.
Okay, all right. Let me.
Can they hear us?
It's ringing. It says call dropped. Okay. try one more time. Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe Skype just cut out. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Something happening on their side.
Let me see. Well, they're still in the camera and they're moving. So.
Yeah, we can still see them moving.
All right. Hold on. Let's see. Talk keeps dropping. All right. Let's see. All right, I think I hear him. Hey, y'all hear us?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
No idea what that was, guys.
No, that's all right. That's what we get for talking about spooky shit like growing embryos in your body for fun. And
if cool. you got money for Black Jurassic Park, you got money to shut down Skype for a minute.
that's definitely Skype.
Yeah, well, of course, they got the triplets now, he argued that if the Lord wanted us to have a white child, it would happen through traditional conception. So he said they haven't been able to get pregnant on their own, so he's like.
So where's second string? Where's second string?
Back up. Hey, God was like, hey, calling the backup.
Yeah. I like that they believe in science when they want to. You know what I mean?
when it's convenient.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, now we do believe in this. However, he said neither he nor his wife are people who think race doesn't exist or don't see it, particularly in Mississippi where they grew up. There will always be the older white woman in Walmart who stares at us with sheer disgust, or the African American mother who looked at us and just shook her head. Nigga, that ain't the same. Anyway. However, there was also a young black girl who wept when we told her this little boy with her skin color was our son, and the older white doctor who lovingly prayed over him and held him so tenderly. All right, 0 to 100. How much y'all feel fucked with?
I'm going to say 100 by that family and that doctor that's praying. You don't know my religion, dog. Told my baby to pray. Is the doctor gonna hold my baby in prayer? I appreciate it, but you don't know me.
That really seemed like the worst possible thing to happen at a doctor's office, when the doctor just started praying.
The doctor hold my black baby in prayer, my black baby in praying. I don't trust it. I don't like. No, I say 100.
That's absolutely 100. There are so many things that that they are expected to teach those kids that they don't understand themselves.
Mm.
Right? So now who's going to give them the talk of how to have their hands always visible when they're in a mini mart? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to, because they're not thinking of that. They're thinking the Lord and questionable science will take care of everything.
They're Facebook friends.
Those kids are not going to be you guys, you're thinking about it in the terms of they're going to teach these kids how to be black. They're not going to do that.
No,
these
not.
Kids are going to have
those are going to be the ashiest children.
They ain't going to know nothing about no shea butter or cocoa butter. Them babies' hair going to be all over their head. It's going to be dry. Going to be breaking and shit.
Someone in a Facebook group is going to hip them to cocoa butter. Guys, don't worry about it.
Do you know how much Jergens it takes?
They don't know about no blue magic. Po kids.
What if that's really why that young black girl was crying in Walmart? She was like, Jergens.
Oh, they're going to age so fast. They're going to age so fast. I feel so bad for her.
You can't put head and shoulders on her.
Oh, like, oh, that black is going to crack. Oh.
Karen, what about you? 0 to 100.
Oh, that's 100.
All right. For me, I don't know. I feel conflicted. I'm giving them, see, my thing is this. I don't really have a problem with the idea of intra-racial adoption, right? Like, or even if your thing was, we want to have these embryos, we can't get pregnant ourselves. I don't have a problem with that either. But it's almost like they sound racially like fetishizing the idea. Like, it's not out of like, it's
pure
like
love.
We need black babies so we can go take pictures on Facebook and show everybody. It's almost like they're touting themselves as like better Christians than the other people. Like,
right.
We put our mouths, money where our mouths is so much, we'll raise a black baby. That's how crazy we are. And it's like, wait a minute, dog. It's not a competition. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you, I'm gonna say, I guess they expect to get to heaven and then God to be like, man, you guys,
you really went the extra mile.
You black babies come right up front. No, you ain't gotta wait in line.
Ah.
Hey, let me see how many black babies this family.
Oh,
this family got all the black babies.
Oh, ooh, four and a half black babies. Okay. So I'll
bring this white family in here.
So I give them like a 75, I think, because I'm confused. Because like if the kids grow up fine, there's no way they're gonna grow up fine. Anyway, let's get to our last game, guys. A little game called Guess the Race. Where we read news articles and we have you guys guess the race, and we have a theme song for this as well.
Great. No,
it's time for some Guess the Race. Now that is Guess the Race time. Now that is time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read or play news articles from all over the globe. And we have our contestants today, Shalewa and Courtney from the Thug Passions Presents show, to Guess the Race. And the chat room plays along, and the chat room is racist.
Yes, they are very.
All right. Let's get to our stories. Here's one. A Burger King employee. You guys know Burger King, home of the Whopper.
Mm-hmm.
He is accused of theft after stealing $3,000 in cash and $20,000 in food.
Ooh.
And he disappeared from the store.
Shit.
Burger King employee is accused of theft after $20,000 worth of food and over $3,000 in cash disappeared from the restaurant. The restaurant told police he was stealing the money to pay off drug debts.
I know I got done drugs, but would you like some Whoppers in exchange?
Yeah, hey, he literally was the, I got these cheeseburgers, man. He was literally that dude.
I got tons of them.
William Simmons Sr., 54 years old, of West Palm Beach, Florida, of course, faces grand theft and burglary charges. He was arrested on Monday. Since Simmons started working at the restaurant March 29th, $20,000 in food went missing, along with $3,191.10 in cash.
I'm not a 10 cent.
Yeah, they worse than Jared. They want all their coins. Mm-hmm. The investigation started Saturday when a manager at the restaurant told a police detective Simmons would leave a door unlocked at the restaurant and then sneak in without any alarms going off.
Holy shit.
The manager said video cameras captured Simmons going into the restaurant through an unlocked door at the back and taking money from the registers. An investigator found Simmons working at the restaurant Monday and brought him to a back office where he was handcuffed. Simmons said he knew cameras captured him stealing money and food. He told them already? Really? Wow.
Ah!
Oh, wow. You do not do that. Anyway, he told the police that everyone made sandwiches to take home with them. Oh, he tried to
get everybody fired.
Nah, he tried to compare it to the little petty shit, like when I worked at Wendy's, these are like
you get extra sodas and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, take chicken sandwiches home.
We all take chicken sandwiches home. Right. Like, oh man, I ate the nub about the chicken sandwich, man. I mean, it's kind of the same as stealing $30,000 worth of food. Come on. I just did it 30,000 times. He told police. So he said he'd also taken home frozen sausage patties and biscuits from the freezer. He said he didn't know how the door was left unlocked. And when they asked him about stolen money, he said he only took $300.
Ah, only.
I like how people start bargaining with the police. Like, that's going to help the cause, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's there's
under grand theft larceny.
Right. We know there's $3,000 missing. Nah, I only took like $300 of that money. Okay.
I got about a misdemeanor's amount, so I don't know what arrest. I don't know what arrest.
You had a right to remain silent. Oh damn! When I asked Simmons why he was taking money from the register, he said he owes some people money for drugs. Well, you know what? If we had the $15 minimum wage, he could afford his drugs.
Mm-hmm.
State records show Simmons a registered sex offender. Come on, man! Should have been working at Subway. Has previously been arrested 7 times and has convictions including sexual assault, marijuana possession, and failure to register as a sex offender. Guess the race of Mr. What was his first name? William Simmons Sr.
Yeah, he's white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what race they believe William Simmons Sr. is. All that food was for them baby mamas black.
Oh,
Blizzak, menace to society black.
That's black as shit.
Yeah, I feel like that's how
shoes is real shoes black.
With cheese. American. And black man was finished and done with his job. I don't even know what that means. Anyway, the correct answer is he was black, guys. He was black. That means Courtney and Shalewa missed it. And all you racist motherfuckers in the chat.
Awesome.
What are y'all saying?
All my uncles know somebody. How do you not know somebody? You don't know nobody who sell what you do? You don't know nobody. Okay.
I want to know where he found a place that he could hock the meat. You know what I'm saying? Like, what drug? Like, what drug? Like, he must have been, you know what it was? I guarantee it. He was actually hooking the whole hood up.
Of course he was.
That's what it was. He was the connect, and then he would take that money and be like, okay, let me flip this, ironically, let me flip this burger money into drug money. So, I see you play, boy. Anyway, all right, and now, let me see if I can put his picture in here so you guys can see what he looks like. By the way, his face looked like, yeah, you stole them cheeseburgers. You know what I mean? It's probably why he confessed, because he just got that face. It's like, oh, I did it. I mean, what are we talking about, guys? Let me see if I can put this in the chat for you guys. Let's see here. There we go.
That would give him.
Look at his face.
Oh.
Yeah, he did it. He did it.
You are an uncle.
I know. He looked like Sam.
He's like the police just finished going, have it your way. Won't be fooled again. All right, let's go to sword ratchetness, guys. We're not gonna do bonus round today, we're running out of time, so we're gonna do some sword ratchetness here. Where's my long ass sound effect? There we go. This will be 20 seconds of your life you can't ever have back. That's right.
Oh, happen when you mess with swords, you die.
Unregulated sword ownership is one of the number one problems in the world. Everybody concentrates on guns, and they end up missing all the violence that happened with swords, and we haven't even taken care of that first. Mm-mm. So we at the Blackout Tips are spreading awareness about the many sword crimes that go unpunished and underpunished every single day.
Case in point. Okay.
Oh, shit.
A husband tried to murder his wife with a ceremonial sword and then claimed she had been injured by a burglar.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of any weapon that can be fought off by going, man, take your ass home.
Man, when you see all the sword violence that happens in America and throughout the world, you'll see a lot of these motherfuckers ain't listening. Harjeet Singh, 46, struck his wife over the head with the sword before attempting to strangle her during a horrific attack last October.
Shit.
Yep. He tried to murder her with a ceremonial sword before he was by a burglar. And he's been jailed for how many years, you think?
None.
Attempted murder? It's not none. He's going to jail, Karen.
Probably like seven.
19 years, guys.
What?
19 years for attempted murder. Yeah, we're getting somewhere. The Blackout Tips is spreading the word.
Yeah, a lot of times they get probation or some shit.
Yeah. He attempted to strangle her. He left her with a fractured skull, cuts, and a damaged windpipe.
Oh.
After the attack, he coerced his victim to go along with his story, saying she would be deported if he was sent to jail. So he tried to use the old, you need me. The Ike, Tina Turner, you bitch, you die, I kill you.
Did he crack the skull?
Mm-hmm.
Did he have the sword before they got married?
Probably. See, that's why you can't take it lightly, man. A lot of people have swords all around you. Like, oh, it's ceremonial. Oh, it's just a collector's item. I just really like Adventure Time. Nah, man. You can get fucked up with them swords, man. Y'all go to a Comic Con or one of these things. These shits are real.
What ceremony he go to that gave him a sword?
Yeah, what kind of ceremony?
Kind of non-military?
It's part of his religion, I believe, you know? So he was just like... Like certain religions, we had covered one article where a dude sued a company, and he may even won the lawsuit, but he wanted to carry a ceremonial sword with him every day to work. And it was like, part of my religious freedom, dog, I get this sword. I'm like, you can't do that. You're going to win all the conference calls. Nobody going to fucking.
Right! Debate you!
Did you look at the singular account? Shing! Oh, you know what, dog? It's cool, man.
Don't worry about it.
Take the rest of the day, bro. Just
I got the case.
But today, the temple worker was locked up for 19 years after being convicted of attempted murder. So they got him. And let's see, what was the other thing? Oh yeah, all right. So yeah, this is what happens, man. Sword ownership interacts with domestic violence and. He got her lying, threatening to kick her out of the country. It's just a lot of stuff. But I'm glad we finally got one, guys. Thank God.
Yeah. The fact that he hit her, and then when that didn't work, tried to choke her is enough where you're just like, hey, man, you think you're gone for good. We not 20 years, you're 46, you don't come back.
And then was like, now lie to the police for me. Like, what? You need to go to jail, man. Like, I'm holding my head. I'm holding my brain in. No, man, you need to go to jail. I'm glad she was brave enough to tell on his ass. Anyway.
Oh, me too.
Make sure you guys check out Courtney Farrington and Shalewa Sharp. And Thug Passions Presents, coming up this Friday. So if you guys are in the, NYC area, go to the Creek and Cave, man. Creek in the Cave and support them. You guys, got any like dates or anything you guys want to promote?
I mean, that's the thing.
That's the big thing.
Right. May 18th through 21st, the Cape Fear Comedy Festival in Cape Fear, North Carolina. So if I know you got some listeners down there in North Carolina.
Yeah,
so,
we down here in North Carolina, man. We like, how far are we away from Cape Fear? Like,
that's out near the coast, ain't it?
So like 6 hours, maybe something like that, four hours. All right, well, yeah, that's what's up. May 18th
through 22nd.
Oh, that's okay. What's up, man. Y'all both going to be down there?
No, he's going to that one. I'm going to a festival in Chicago July 21st through the 24th.
There you go, man. Make sure you guys catch these people wherever you can. And I'll have all the information in the show notes for how to follow them on Twitter and the Tumblrs and... the Thug Passion Presents link that'll all be up tonight. Thank y'all so much for doing the show, man. Mm-hmm. Y'all have to come back and do it again one day.
That was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. We'll recap Game of Thrones, episode 1 of season 6, and our guest will be Nicole from What's the Tea Podcast.
Yes.
And so be here at 7:30 tomorrow in formation and ready to go. All right, until tomorrow, love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.